And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so lovely to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm Jo Stanley and with me as always is Gerald Quigley. Hi there, GQ.
Hello, Jo, and we have an interloper.
Oh, come on.
Interloper.
I think that's unkind. We love Luke Hines. Hello, darling.
Good morning, Dream Team. Happy Sunday.
I see him in a different environment than you do.
Oh,
all right.
In my natural environment, in the wild, Joe.
The two of you are quite the double act, I will admit, when we see you on the House of Honors TV. But
one
listen,
more than others.
We're here right now, gentlemen, and
moment.
I tell you what, I, of course, always love the conversations that we have on this show, but I am very excited about this one today because I am obsessed with this, chronic inflammation. Now, I've read that one of the most important medical discoveries of the past two decades has been that inflammation is involved in a huge variety of mental and physical health problems. So it's so interesting to me, GQ.
It is, Joe. And what it shows is the underlying factors that often we miss. So anything with itis is associated with inflammation. Every single disease state with itis, but often, and we treat the itis part, but we don't spend long enough thinking, why did the itis develop in the first place? So if you've got diverticulitis, inflammation of the diverticulum, which are the little Murray River type things in your gut or in your intestine, what's causing that? Is it a food substance? Is it stress? Is it, I don't know.
Lack of sleep.
Well, all of those things. So we should investigate those things further. But there's no time. The system does not allow time to investigate.
I've been doing food and fitness for 20 years now. And in the last 10 years, the word inflammation is popping up more and more. Avocados, nuts, seeds, healthy fats. Mm. We're not just looking at food as fuel. We're looking at food to reduce inflammation, and it is exciting, Joe. I love it.
Because you have two choices. Everything you stick in your mouth either inflames or de-inflames. So it either lifts it or takes it away. Your choice.
Chronic inflammation, which, if uncontrolled, can lead to a range of debilitating conditions, including cancer. I mean, it's extraordinary to think about that, that we have the power to think about how we reduce inflammation in our body for all of our health systems. So first up, we chat with Professor Elizabeth Hartland, the director of the Hudson Institute of Medical Research, about chronic inflammation, which is responsible for more than 50% of all deaths worldwide. Amazing to think about this.
Staggering.
And so many people don't even know about inflammation.
Yeah, and the lifestyle choices that they can make that don't cost a thing to help it.
So we look at how to know if you are inflamed, chronic inflammation, and the causes and the ways to help prevent it. Also, another issue that I'm very passionate about is accessibility and inclusion for all. So with the holiday season just around the corner, we're going to look at ways to keep our most vulnerable COVID safe this summer during family gatherings, because COVID is not over.
No, we're just learning to live with it in a different way. And learning to live with COVID is so different depending on your age, your demographic, your health status. And I'm feeling confident to live with COVID and do what I need to do to protect myself. But a huge responsibility is how I then protect others.
Mm. Should we have learned to live with it earlier than December, the whatever it is, 11th?
Hindsight is 2020. But I think now we take the knowledge that we've got and we protect those that are most vulnerable.
Well, Professor Catherine Bennett, Chair of Epidemiology at the Faculty of Health at Deakin University, is joining us again. She'll give us the latest information on COVID-19 within our community, along with suggestions to best protect ourselves from infection over the festive period. Gerald, you are going to look at B vitamin group for our stress and energy levels. Looking forward to that. And as always, 131873 is our number. We would love you to give us a call. Both Gerald and Hinesy are here to answer your questions, whether it's what to eat or what not to eat.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. We're here.
Supplements to take. If there's a symptom that you are being challenged by right now, give us a call, 131873, with your question for your health. Next up, ways to combat chronic inflammation on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What if there was a way you could save young lives while saving the planet? Introducing Unlabeled, a range of cruelty-free, vegan and ethically sourced skincare products made from 100% recycled post-consumer waste plastic. But here's the best part. 100% of all profits from the sale of Unlabeled products go towards preventing youth suicide. So try Unlabeled the next time you need to top up your hand wash. It's just $8.99 at Chemist Warehouse and includes essential oils like lemon myrtle, sandalwood and eucalyptus. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Lecarco Keto Meal Replacement Shakes for $49.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. 131-873 is our number. We will get to your calls in just a moment. But first, when you hear of inflammation, you probably think that's what you get with an injury. But there's also inflammation of another kind, and that's chronic inflammation. And joining us on the line is Professor Elizabeth Hartland, Director of the Hudson, Institute of Medical Research and President-elect of the Association of Australian Medical Research Institutes. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Look, we are very passionate about this conversation here today, and I certainly myself, I've done a bit of research. I see that it's a huge advancement in medicine and research, and in fact, I understand that you have a large team of researchers at your institute researching inflammation. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So we have 500 researchers at the Hudson, and this includes around 150 scientists and clinicians who specifically work on inflammation. And that's because there's still so much we don't know about the consequences of inflammation and how it underpins many chronic diseases, including things like heart disease, lung disease like COPD, but also cancer, kidney disease, inflammatory bowel disease, and so on.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Elizabeth. There is a type of inflammation, though, that many of us are familiar with, and it's when we hurt ourselves. And it's actually a good form of inflammation to protect us, right?
Yeah, that's right. So inflammation is a normal part of the immune response to infection or injury, an important part of the healing process. For example, when you cut yourself, the area becomes swollen and painful, in other words, inflamed, and it's the body's way of jumping in to fix the problem. But importantly, it should also go away. And so if inflammation becomes out of control, it can be dangerous, like in sepsis or COVID, or if it doesn't switch off and becomes chronic, then it can lead to a range of long-term debilitating diseases.
Elizabeth, I was reading some of your work yesterday afternoon on translocated effectors of intestinal bacterial pathogens. What role does the gut play in inflammation?
Yeah, so the gut's really important for balancing our health. And so in my particular research area, we study bacteria that cause infections. So that causes a massive disruption to the gut's normal function, creates a massive immune response and also disturbs all our natural microbiome. So that ends up causing a lot of inflammation and things like diarrhea. So the gut is really central to how we feel about ourselves every day.
So when we're talking about chronic inflammation, how do we know that we actually have this? What symptoms or signs should we be looking out for?
Yeah, so chronic inflammation is the result of an active immune response that essentially sticks around for too long after infection or injury, and it just won't switch off for some reason. And that might be because the trigger is still there, or in some people, they're just genetically not able to resolve inflammation as effectively as other people. So over time, this chronic slow burn of inflammation damages our organs, tissues and cells and raises our risk to hundreds of diseases, actually.
Elizabeth, we talk about the importance of getting enough sleep, making sure that we reduce stress, but one of my huge passions in life is empowering people to eat healthy food. Can you talk to us about the impact of anti-inflammatory foods and what a huge part they play?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, you're right. For most of us, getting a good night's sleep and combating stress and maintaining a healthy diet and weight are really important. But I think it's also important to say here that people who have a chronic inflammatory disease like diabetes or lupus or inflammatory bowel disease, they really need to be in the care of a specialist doctor. But nonetheless, a good approach is to eat a varied diet, rich in fruit, vegetables, nuts, whole grains, olive oil, oily fish, things like that. It's essentially the same diet that's good for heart health and provides your body with all the right protein, micronutrients, good oils, fibre, etc., that our cells need to function, as well as maintaining a healthy gut microbiome.
Elizabeth, you just mentioned then that diabetes is an inflammatory disease, and therein lies an example of where we think diabetes is all about elevated blood sugar, but we don't actually really go to the source of that elevated blood sugar, which is an inflamed pancreas or whatever. But my question, what role has COVID played in chronic inflammation?
Yeah, so chronic inflammation from COVID is something that we're sort of describing now as long COVID. It has all the hallmarks of a chronic inflammatory disease. And the problem with that is that the immune response to COVID just keeps going. It hasn't switched off.
Yes.
And the inflammation just won't go away. So it can cause damage to heart, lungs, kidneys, and in some people also cause cognitive problems.
So I'm interested to know, is there a link between chronic inflammation and mental health?
Yes, well, I think that, certainly people who are suffering from chronic inflammation, this clearly impacts their mental health and well-being on a daily basis as they try and manage all the complex symptoms that arise from chronic inflammation. So, chronic inflammation can turn up in various areas of the body, and people who suffer from a chronic inflammatory disease might be diagnosed, for example, initially with inflammatory bowel disease, but then they experience flare-ups in joint pain and arthritis. So this can be hard to manage. Different medical specialists tend to see different types of patients, and it would be much easier for the patient if we had sort of centralised inflammation clinics to manage Sure. this, which is not something that is done currently in our healthcare system. Mm. So all this management, certainly affects people's mental health.
So what's your best advice when it comes to chronic inflammation?
Well, I think, it's what you're saying earlier, sleep well, manage stress, improve your diet, maintain a healthy weight and exercise, consider how you can help keep your microbiome healthy. Be aware of something that scientists are calling the inflammation clock, where people with chronic inflammation age faster, and this may be different to their biological age. I think, within 5 years, we might be able to tailor therapeutic approaches to individual people's needs by understanding their inflammation status better. Yeah, but at the moment, it's all these simple things that we can do.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth. We're very passionate about this conversation. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Have a great Sunday. And up next, 131873 is our number. We'll get to your calls after this.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get LifeSpace Probiotics from $20.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Luke Hines. And we are here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Let's get to some calls. 131873 is the number. Good morning, Cheryl in Melbourne.
Hello, Cheryl.
Good morning. Look, I just had a second discectomy, a cervical discectomy. I had one 15 years ago that worked quite well, but it's only 10 days ago, but I wonder what I can take to reduce the inflammation. It seems to be not settling down where the scar is. It's it's doing well. It's only 10 days ago, but I just wonder what I can take, one, to help my body repair, really.
You've got to remember, Cheryl, that as the professor said before, you're in a state of inflammation still post-surgery. Specifically, the herb is arnica. Now, arnica reduces swelling, bleeding, bruising, and you've had some internal work done. So go and get some arnica in sublingual form. This is the form that dissolves in your mouth. But really, it's a matter of looking at food options, Hansi, isn't it, to reduce the overall level of inflammation and hasten the healing.
Yeah, we talk about chicken soup for the soul, but I can't stress enough bone broth and related collagen-type products, especially bone broth, though, because of the quality of the minerals in there. They're fantastic for healing the gut, but they also help repair tissue and give us a really good sustenance, a good quality source of minerals and protein. So please, your local health food store, even your major supermarkets now, your Chemist Warehouse, you can all access those type of products.
Sure. And rest is important. Yeah. Rest and sleep, fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Good luck, Cheryl.
And Mary in Essendon, good morning.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, hello, Gerald.
How can we help?
Gerald, if somebody's coming, I'm not sure if what they've said, they're not sure what they've got. It's either plumacy or ammonia, and they're coming off it, or maybe they're not coming off it. Oh. I'm wondering, would it be a good idea if they went on to, and they're on, what are they on?
Antibiotics they'll be on, probably.
Yeah, they're on antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if they should go on probiotics while they're having that, or if they come off it.
The specific probiotic, Mary, for a person on antibiotics is called Saccharomyces, a very long word, but abbreviated to S for Sam, B for Betty. You can buy that from your pharmacy or health food store, and that can be taken right alongside the antibiotic. Once the course of antibiotics is finished, then you've got to rebuild the gut microbiome with just the usual lactobacillus bifidobacter combination, very common in your pharmacy. But also, Heinze, food-wise, we can look at rebuilding gut bacteria, can't we?
When we rebuild a gut bacteria, we need a variety of different coloured vegetables. They're a fantastic source of fibre for our gut, but in there we need to be looking at two things in particular. We want fermented vegetables. That's a huge important factor. And we want to make sure that we're having good quality yogurt with that bacteria in there as well. So they're two really good sources that are accessible every day that actually make a huge difference quite quickly.
Low fat or the good stuff?
The good stuff. So when we talk about low fat products, of course, if you're on a calorie restricted diet, you might need to consider those. But when you are not calorie restricted, the full fat versions of things are the most natural. They're the closest to how they're supposed to be, because when you take the fat out of something, you usually have to replace that fat with sugar or artificial ingredients to make it taste the same.
I loved it when I learned that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's full fat for me, babe. I just love that in my yogurt.
Anything modified is just not good for you, because you're changing something.
You've got to keep it real. Keep it real.
Keep your calls coming, 131-873. We'll get to more of those next. But I just wanted to ask you, Heinze, because I know that you're a fitness expert in my life. So I have to ask your thoughts on something that sounds hilarious and perhaps a little bit of a fad, but apparently it's good for us.
Yeah.
Walking backwards.
Oh, there's an official name, Joe.
Oh, what's that?
Retro walking, which makes me feel really old, because it's like we're walking retro style.
Retro walking means that I'm doing it in flares.
Well, yeah, I like to put a headband on some mornings when I do the tan.
We're serious about this, aren't
we? No, we are.
This is people fall over when they're working forwards. What risk does... I mean, I can't think of anything
more stupid
in my life.
Let's talk about the benefits and some potential risks. The benefits are we're using our bodies and our muscle in a different way. So when we walk forwards, we can put some impact on our knees and our joints. But when we walk backwards, we're going to build our glutes and our hamstrings. Mm-hmm. So you want that back part of your leg to tone up really beautifully. But also, it uses your brain in a different way. It allows your core strength to really switch on, because you need that kind of balance as you're walking backwards. But let's just have a few caveats here. Number one, don't do it in a busy place. Bourke Street Mall, absolutely not during Christmas shopping. Two, a beach is a really good idea, and you might think about doing 10 strides forward, 10 strides backwards, but make sure that your surroundings are safe. But if you're really unsure but you want to give it a go, there are treadmills out there that aren't actually giving you speed. You create the speed with how you walk, and they've got really good handrails on the side. And it's an opportunity to try it in a safe environment where you're holding the handrails and you can give it a shot. But hey, I'll give anything a go twice.
You don't have to do it quickly, though, because it's all about the action of ball to heel. And if you can do that quite slowly. It's more of a meditative, I'm imagining, I've never done it, but I do sometimes do a backward lunge. It's kind of similar to that, right?
Yeah, we should try to work our body and our muscles in different ways, because we sometimes we adapt to the things that we do each and every day. So we get our brain firing off different ways, our core's working. Now, Joe, I'm going to set you a challenge.
Oh,
I want you to do it this week. All right, I want you to do it, and we're going to check back in when we're here together.
Okay.
And we're going to find out how you went.
We do it in an exercise class where you're actually in a pool, a little more, so it gives you some control. Low impact. Yep. But you're walking back in water, which makes more sense.
I love it.
But look, for anyone who wants to try it and they fall over and hurt themselves, ring up so I can prove my point. Stupid.
All righty. Well, do keep your calls coming, 131-873. Plus, next up, how to stay COVID safe this summer.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get LifeSpace Probiotics from $20.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Well, it is hard to believe that it's nearly 3 years now and we're still surrounded by COVID. In fact, there's more COVID than ever it feels like to me. And you might ask, just how do we stay safe this summer with so many social occasions? And we're going into the festive season. We're with our friends and family a lot. So joining us on the line is Professor Catherine Bennett, Chair of Epidemiology at the Faculty of Health at Deakin University, to answer our questions. Thank you so much for joining us again on the House of Wellness, Catherine.
Good morning, all.
Can you tell us what is the status right now of COVID-19 in our country? Because it does feel like there's a lot of it around in my world.
Yeah, and we're seeing a slightly different pattern. People are calling this the fourth wave. So it's a bit hard to count where the waves begin and end. But really, it's a new phase. We've actually got a variant that's stuck with us for an entire year. That hasn't happened previously. But most importantly, this is an infectious variant, Omicron. And it's also got lots of subvariants now. And this is the first time we've actually had a mix of subvariants in the community. And it's part of the reason those case numbers that are reported are pushing up again, is because people can have reinfections. And now it's not waiting till the next wave for your reinfection. It's actually, you know, you can be infected with one subvariant, recover, and then you could potentially have another infection because there's other subvariants in the mix now. Oh. So it is different, and it's probably why we're all feeling it more, because we know people who've actually had multiple infections now as well.
Right. So that whole adage of, oh, well, I'm immune now because I've just had it, I've got a, you know, bit of grace period, that's not the case anymore.
No, and we knew with Omicron you could have reinfection, and so they reduced that grace period, as you call it, is a good name, you know, from 3 months back to 1 month, because they knew it was possible to have reinfection and your immunity would wane after an infection. But now it's even more possible because the variant's a bit different again in the same mix, you know, at the same time in the community. So it just means the protection you develop in an infection is less effective in stopping a future infection if, in fact, you've got other subvariants that you might be coming across in your daily activity. So just means we have to be really mindful of that shift and recognise that infection itself, vaccination, antivirals are all really important to help try and reduce that risk of severe illness. But it is a challenge to try and avoid exposure when you have this increased surge, as we're seeing now, of infection in the community.
Catherine, we hear that term, living with COVID, and as a 39-year-old, me living with COVID is going to look very, very different to my dear mum who's 75. And as we lead up to Christmas, I just want to talk about how important it is that regardless of where you are on the spectrum of living with COVID, how do we protect the most vulnerable in our community? Those that are not in a position to get COVID, what can we do for this festive period?
Well, it is important, firstly, just to say how important, as you say, vaccination is. And for our most vulnerable people, that's where it does its greatest work, you know, because it's reducing a high risk of severe illness down to something much more manageable. And then you can back that up with antivirals for most people. Not everyone will be eligible, but it's complicated diagnosis with people's other medication and so on, but that has made a big difference in helping keep people out of hospital. So important that people who are vulnerable have a plan for antivirals. But for us, you're right, we have to be really mindful about people who really, you know, have to work hard to avoid infection, and it's really important that they do. And so there's a number of things. In coming together with a family, the first basic rule of thumb is don't go out if you have symptoms, or don't have people over if you have symptoms. Even if you test negative in the early days of an infection, there's still a chance that you have COVID. It's just not showing up on the test, and it's best to stay away from other people if you can. Isolate within home, but certainly not be mixing across households. And likewise, if you're having gatherings, to focus on lower risk settings. So if you have to be indoors, if the weather's not great, for example, then or you don't have the option for going outdoors, open up all your windows, ventilate the place really well before, during and after the gathering. That helps. Not giving people space so people aren't crowded around each other. Trying to avoid hugging and kissing. I know that's really hard when we come together with particularly family that we probably haven't seen still as often as we'd like with the risks of COVID. But at the same time, all of those things can make a difference. And also, people often say you don't know who's at risk, and that's true. You can't always look at a person and say, oh, that person's, you know, at risk, because they might be quite young but still have underlying health conditions or on medication that does make them more vulnerable. But you know, my rule of thumb is if someone's wearing a mask, oh, you're going on public transport now, we advise everyone to wear masks, but if someone else is wearing a mask in a setting, put your mask on too, because it respects that person's concern and probably reality, you know, about their own risks. And I think the more we think about other people at this time of the year, the more of us might get through it without an infection.
Catherine, there's an underlying feeling in certain states, and certainly in Victoria, that anything could happen at any time. And I get really concerned when we consider where we've been. So we've had families torn apart, friendships broken, businesses shut down, people stigmatised. You know, we had the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, and almost being banished as being unclean. Did we handle it well? And if this happens, if something happens, where do we go? How do we manage it?
Well, if you're giving a scorecard, you know, there are certain things that Australia did really well, and that was right from the start, having an early effective response to close borders and to bring under control the community transmission that we had at the start of 2020. And that worked in every state and territory in the country. And it was fantastic to see how people came together and we got through that. After that, we then started to learn about how difficult it is to control the virus, and every variant was more challenging. And we saw that with our hotel quarantine not working well. But then some of those things failed their tests as we went. So there was some difficulty in trying to get hotel quarantine right. And every time they adjusted things, the virus became more slippery and able to get through. And we saw the same when health systems were tested, particularly in Victoria, that it was difficult to keep up with an escalating outbreak with the current systems we had in place at that time. They've all changed since, but with our contact tracing and so on. So we were finding cracks as we went through, which is really difficult for the health departments to try and be rebuilding while they're, you know, trying to fly and manage these outbreaks. We went really hard in some areas, and we went harder and longer than any other part of the world, in Victoria in particular. And we saw countries like New Zealand, which started very harshly. They had more strict rules than Australia initially. But they then started becoming more nuanced as time went on, whereas Australia didn't. We stayed with a blanket approach. States did it slightly differently. But we went into, you know, fast, rapid lockdowns, even if there was one case and not yet any community transmission. I think they're the things we have to look at and say, did that really add anything? Added a lot of pain points, but is that the thing you do in the future? And that's what we have to get out of this. Understand the bits that worked and also understand the bits that we could avoid in future that came with a big cost, but that might not have really made as big a difference as people thought at the time. So it's not about blame or, you know, the retrospective scope. It's actually about learning from what we did and taking that into the future, so that's the legacy we should be focusing on.
Well, thank you so much again, Catherine. It's wonderful to have you, Professor Catherine Bennett, and we wish you a beautiful Christmas.
And you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much. In a moment, we'll get to your calls, plus how the B Vitamin Group can help with our stress levels.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Support your gut microbiome while helping to improve your sleep or relieve stress. Discover LifeSpace Probiotics at Chemist Warehouse. New Probiotics Plus Sleep Support includes ashwagandha and improves sleep quality. And Probiotics Plus Stress Relief includes saffron extract and magnesium and relieves symptoms of mild anxiety and stress. Get LifeSpace Probiotics from $20.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy Go Ashwagandha for $18.49 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Time for A to Z of Vitamins. Gerald, we're looking at B Complex.
The stress range, Joe, and there probably wouldn't be one person standing upright who doesn't suffer from some sort of stress at this time of the year for all the reasons that we just shake our heads every year and think, I can do it better next year, but it doesn't seem to happen. Now, in theory, we get these things from our fruit and vegetables, the B groups, they're the water solubles. But as Hanji will tell us, 90-odd percent of Australians don't need the recommended intake of fruits and vegetables. So we've probably, if that's the gap you have in your food options, looking at a B supplement, particularly one containing B5, to help cope with the stress response. So because we've talked in stress causes inflammation, the whole thing, the whole package starts again. So food-wise, Heinze, you know, just very briefly, fresh fruit and veg?
Yeah, fresh fruit and veg. B vitamins make a huge difference to my day, and two of my favourite sources are actually eggs and avocado, and it is a breakfast show right now. So if you're listening to this, duck home, grab some eggs, some avos, and you're getting some good Bs into your day.
Bing, I'm doing that for sure. Well, the A to Z of vitamins is brought to you by Go Healthy's Pro-Activated B Complex, a convenient high-strength one-a-day formulation to support healthy stress response in the body. We've got time for one more quick call. Hi there, David in Brunswick.
Yes, hi there, doctor. Just got POTS at the moment, dizziness, low blood pressure. The doctor has said to have more salt in the diet.
Yes.
What can you recommend?
David, first of all, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a pharmacist and herbalist. But look, the salt is important. I know we demonise salt so often, but it's a very important part of our diet. And it will tend, particularly if you hydrate correctly, it will help. The dizziness may be related to COVID because there's been a lot of dizziness and vertigo and tinnitus associated with COVID. Now, there's an extract of ginkgo biloba called EGB761 that your pharmacy will have and your health food store, and you take one of those twice a day, and in many instances that will help reduce the symptoms. But finding the underlying cause, as we've talked all morning, finding the underlying cause is the challenge.
And making sure that when you do hydrate, you're balancing out any diuretics you're having in your day. So if you are having a couple of coffees, you've got to increase your water. One of my favourite ways to hydrate is actually with coconut water because it's full of really good quality electrolytes, tastes great, and it's easy to stay hydrated when you enjoy the drink.
Or water from the tap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. They all work.
Like that,
yeah. Get it into you.
I lied to you. We've got time for another quick call. Hi there, Pauline in Essendon.
Hi, Pauline.
Hello, Pauline.
You there, Pauline? Hello.
Yeah.
How can we
help? Good morning.
Pauline?
How are you, Gerald?
We're well. How can we help?
Good. Oh, yes. I'm just ringing. My mother in her 90s has developed a small ulcer on her ankle, and she does suffer from venous insufficiency. But lately she's been experiencing very painful legs while sleeping most nights. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, the biggest challenge she has at the moment, Pauline, is to get that ulcer healed, because that can be a hell of an issue if it doesn't resolve. So make sure that age doesn't complain. They just soldier on, keep a very close eye on it. If her doctor is just doing the routine treatments and nothing's changing, insist on perhaps a wound care clinic. You can buy arginine powder to help her heal that ulcer. You can get that from a health food store, usually sometimes a pharmacy, but usually a health food store, because arginine is the great healer. From the pain perspective, it could be the ulcer that's causing the pain and the swelling. So it's a little more complicated there, and the swelling usually is a sign, here's the word, it's a sign of inflammation. Getting the underlying cause is the issue. She could have magnesium. It sometimes upsets tummies, though, in that age group, so you've got a little bit careful. Nuts might make a difference. Best nuts for magnesium, Heinze?
Oh, macadamia nuts are fantastic. Walnuts and pecans.
Yeah. Almonds really, with chocolate around the
and
outside.
And dark chocolate is a good source of magnesium. And if you find that the magnesium powder supplement actually does upset your tummy, I like a good soak in an Epsom salt magnesium bath. Really soothes the legs.
Nice.
Really relaxing. It's good for your total well-being.
Being careful as a 90-year-old getting in and out of a bath.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, very careful.
Of course. Thanks, as always, to our callers. The website is houseofwellness.com.au. If you have any questions, go to the Ask tab. And if you're looking for any more information on anything we covered on today's show, head along houseofwellness.com.au. We'll have more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
When your body needs extra mental support, reach for Go Healthy Go Ashwagandha 8000 Plus Stress and Energy One a Day at Chemist Warehouse. It contains ashwagandha, which is traditionally used in Ayurvedic medicine to support memory and mental recall, and vitamin B5 to support energy production and help the body cope with environmental stress. Go Healthy Go Ashwagandha Ashwagandha is $18.49 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Go Healthy, Go Ashwagandha for $18.49 at Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
So what an awesome hour we've just shared together, Gerald and Hinesy. If you're after more House of Wellness, there's a lift out today.
Use limited papers. We have a perfume wrap around the House of Wellness insert.
It's almost like Christmas is coming.
I think it is. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, so lots of ladies' fragrances on the front, beautiful. Men's fragrances on the back.
And on the TV today, Channel 7 at midday, I believe you take an icy plunge, Hinesy.
That's right. We talk about that Iceman Wim Hof. Now, there's got a lot of people around the world who share his passion and in train people how to incorporate ice into their life. Well, I did. I went out to Hepburn, 0.6 degrees, and I'll let you tune in to find how many or how long I lasted in the ice. But it was incredible. You've got to see it. You've got to catch the show.
Yeah, I tried it once. Not for me.
No.
And no thanks. I never would do it again. But you made it through, and you're pretty impressive on that there, Hinesy. So do check out House of Wellness Today, Channel 7 at midday. As always, gentlemen, awesome to see you. Do check out houseofwellness.com.au. And as we always say, thanks again to our friends at Chemist Warehouse.